Man, we're a connected church because you see, it's not just about sitting here on Sunday. I mean, that's a great place to start, and I want you to do that. Don't stop doing that. But I want you to take, like I said last week, that next step over and find a connection where you can know people and you can be known. And that is a healthy, healthy number. You know, a lot of churches, 10% of their attendance being students is a really great number. But our number is higher than that. We have so many 6th through 12th graders and a ton, maybe, I don't know how many, on any given Sunday, maybe 350 fifth grade kids and under. The Lord is just letting us impact the next generation, and it matters. It really matters. The next thing we just want to celebrate, and we're not going through all of this because we handed this thing out, but we had 392 kids in Backyard Bible Club this year. Come on. You know, that's vacation Bible school, but instead of doing it here and saying, hey, all of y'all, come to some big building that you've never been inside before, we go to neighborhoods and we say, hey, this neighbor that you know is inviting you just to come to their house and in their yard out front and all around. And we had 392 kids come over five days and hear the gospel. And 25 of those came to know Jesus and responded to that. Many of them already knew Jesus. Some were pushed, you know, encouraged towards him. But 25 kids, many of whom do not, whose families aren't part of our fellowship or we're not, have come to know Jesus through that. And that's exciting. And then I want to show you another number. It's sort of deceptive because it's kind of low compared to the others. It's 51 people actively engaged in disciple-making groups. Now, here's the deal. We got a ton of people that are in our women's gathering, Bible studies, and other things that we have, a men's conquer series or the men's 33 Bible study. But there's also something else that we've got, and those are disciple-making groups where people, more than just a Bible study, they're learning to study the Bible, obey the Word of God. They hold each other accountable. They learn to share the gospel. They learn to share their story. They learn to memorize scripture. They learn to do the They learn to experience Jesus, but they learn it in a way that they can teach others so that they can become disciple makers themselves. You remember last week, that's what I said. God wants us to be a church, not just of attenders, but a church of actual disciple makers. Really, that number is closer to 90 now, but when we printed it, but it just keeps happening and happening. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a life group, would you consider taking that next step and saying, hey, how can I become a disciple maker? Ask your life group leader, and because God is moving in significant ways at Crossbridge. These are just some of the things. There's other things that are on here, the number of people that went into international outreaches with us, the number of missionaries you see at the bottom. I know it's hard to read that. That have come out of Crossbridge, just normal, everyday, professional people like you who've said, you know what? I'm going for it. And they've gone to the Native American Navajo population in Gallup, New Mexico, or they've gone to, all different, Romania. They've just gone all sorts of places. This church is alive, and it's not alive because of my preaching, and it's not alive because of my leadership. It's alive because we follow Jesus, and he's our leader. Yeah, somebody clap for that. He's our leader. So that's the annual report that we're celebrating. If you're a guest with us, I want to say, listen, come on. I want you to be a part of this. Maybe you're searching for a church family. Our arms are out like this to you. It does not take much to feel like you're a part of Crossbridge because of the way we do things. I want to invite Jeff Gonzalez to come up. Jeff, on the back side of that annual report is our budget. Let's put that screen up. And I'll turn it. Jeff and his wife Kim are part of our elder team. So it's all yours, bro.
Good morning. You know, as we were worshiping, I know these are all numbers, but I was just reminded that this is about warfare. We're talking about taking the gospel to the nations, taking the gospel to our city. And I just want to commend you as a body of believers. I'm really humbled as I stand here before you because you put your money where your faith is. And this is about taking the gospel to the nations, to the city, to have an impact. So I just want to commend you. Let's give a hand to Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Again, as Kirk mentioned, we just want to affirm the budget, but I want to affirm you for being faithful. Thank you for that. You know, this means a lot to me personally because our family has traveled around the world. I never thought we would, but we've been to Rwanda. My children have been to Romania, Israel, different places, still places to go. And I'm excited to be part of a body of believers that believes in sending and people going and people giving in a way that we can send others. And that's you. And so this morning, if you're a member here at Crossbridge, and you, we just want to affirm the budget. And if you agree with it, if you just raise your hand and say yes,
yes,
we affirm it. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just commit this to the Lord. Father, we thank you for these numbers. And we thank you that you're not a God that is limited to these by these numbers. So, Father, would you continue to expand our hearts? Would you continue to expand our vision for the sake of your kingdom? We desire to partner with you in all that you're doing locally and around the world. Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh and there's no limitations with you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. You know, Jeff said, we thank you for these numbers. That may sound weird, but these numbers ultimately represent the fruit in people's lives. That's what we're really celebrating when we give faithfully. We're celebrating what God's going to do in the lives of people. So anyway, I'm excited about that. That's done. If you wanted a copy of that and you didn't get one over the last 3 weeks or in the last several weeks of emails, there's a hard copy by the table, on the table by the wooden box on your way out. Another thing, we're going to switch now, totally switch gears to another thing we're going to celebrate. We're going to do a couple of baby dedications. And so I'm going to invite the families. We're going to be dedicating Adela Beaumarie Flores. And so Isabella and Anthony, if you guys will come up. And then also Nathan and Terry Dawson, where are you guys? There you are. You know the drill, don't you? You got four of them. How many? There, you know, I should punch your ticket. With every fourth one, you get a free one. Yeah. But right now, you owe me $100 for that one. No, I'm teasing. And let me tell you why we do baby dedications. And I just remember when I married you guys, just, man, now this, that's exciting. One of the reasons we do baby dedications, you know, in a moment after this, we're going to have some baptisms. And we hold baptism. It seems like every time you see baptism in the Bible, it was when someone made a personal decision to follow Jesus. And so that's why we wait until a person is old enough to make that decision. And even some of the kids that you'll see baptized later today have gone through our Now That I'm a Christian class. So we know they understand as much as they can at that little age of what Jesus did for them. But before that, we really want to honor what these guys are doing as parents with their sweet babies. And so we give them an opportunity to come up on stage and share with you all their heart's desire for their kids. And then we as a church family say, we are with you. We're going to, in a moment, hold out a hand of blessing and pray for each of the guys. Yeah, he's wanting to be baptized, I can tell. But it's important as they start the journey with these new kids. And so I'm going to, Anthony, I'm going to give you, let you guys go first. I'm going to give you, I tell you what, I'm actually going to let the Dawsons go first. I don't know, the Spirit's telling me, let the Dawsons go first. I'll switch to this side. And this is Georgia Rue Dawson, and she's going to walk with me.
Good luck with that.
Come on. Hey, would you come with me and help me walk with her? And Pastor Kirk knows how to handle girls.
So this is Georgia, and the verse we picked for her is from Psalm 156. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that's a very special verse to us. I know that a lot of our Crossbridge family knows and was praying for her, but Georgia spent the first 10 days of her life in the NICU after some complications didn't allow her to breathe on her own. And we almost lost our sweet baby, y'all. And so we just are so grateful that she's here and that she has breath in her lungs that we know is from the Lord. And so our verse for her is let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I just want to share that during that time, which was the darkest thing that we've ever walked through, it was incredibly difficult, as I'm sure any of you can imagine, that we've never felt more of the peace of the Lord and just the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And so our prayer for our daughter is that all the days of her life, as long as she has breath in her lungs, that she would praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Come on, guys. If anybody got hit with the toy, I'm sorry. Oh, sweet girl. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Come on. Way to go. Way to go. You made it. There we go. I feel that same way after preaching on Sundays. I'm just like, well, let's do this. Would you just show them in the way that we can as a church family that we're for them? Hold out a hand of blessing and agree with me in prayer as we pray for sweet Georgia Rude. Lord, we do. We lift this sweet girl up. How generous you have been, Lord, to share this special one with the Dawsons and with us, God. You alone know all the plans, but even without knowing them, we trust you so much. We're just going to say yes to all of them for Georgia's life. God, you be the Lord. You be the leader of her life. Nathan and Terry and the brothers and sisters are just saying yes. We want to follow you, and we're agreeing and saying we're going to support and love them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We made it. Okay. You want to give that to Pastor Kirk? No? Okay. All right. I'll let you guys have a seat. You did a wonderful job. Thanks for helping me walk Georgia around. And this is Adela Beaumarie Flores. And do you guys, wait, did you, Dawson, you guys had family here, didn't you? Raise your hand if you're with the Dawson family. All right, there we go. And Anthony, I know you, do you guys have any family or friends here today? There they are, waving over there. All right, we're excited about that. All right, I'm going to give you that. And wow, she is a tiny little girl. Is that good? Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, I'm going to start this way since there's family over there. Why don't you read the verse that you all chose for your sweet girl?
So we chose 1 Samuel 1:27, "For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has granted me with my request, which I asked of him." We have chosen this verse because there was a season of waiting for this child. And now that she's here, we want her to know that she is wanted and always loved.
Somebody say something.
I'll elaborate a little bit on more of the background on that. So there was, like I said, a season of waiting for her because we were blessed with our beautiful baby boy, and he is now 4, so they're almost going to be exactly 4 years apart. And for me, I was baby crazy for quite a while, and my husband wanted me to slow down. So I just prayed and prayed to God that he would show him when would be the time for us to continue growing our family. And we started trying shortly after. I had started doing a women's group in fall of 2017, I don't know. And literally that following spring is when God blessed us with her. But that short period of time where we were trying, it was really hard, not knowing if we were going to be blessed with another child or if we were going to be a one-child family. And I just had to keep telling God, whatever your plan is, I trust you and I praise you in this season always.
Amen. We want to just agree with that. We want to agree. Let's affirm them. Let's just hold out a hand of blessing. Agree with me. There's power. So whenever we agree in prayer together and we're praying in the name of Jesus within his will, he includes us in it and he does it. And that's what we're asking. Lord, we love you and we thank you for sweet Adela, Lord. Oh, the joy that you take in what you see for her life. And each day you're going to unfold another page and another page. And so, Lord, I pray for these sweet parents that they would first and foremost seek after you, long to walk in your ways, Lord, know your word and obey it and experience your presence in them. Lord, because you're so generous when we do that. We just follow you, and then you pour out blessing on our families and children. And so, Lord, we pray that Adela would live under the shower of that blessing all the days of her life. And that she would be mighty, a mighty leader in the kingdom of God, full of joy and wisdom and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. You can be seated. I also want to invite Mike and Maria Sanders up on stage. We're going to have a time of dedicating their baby. So let's give it up for Michael and Maria as they come up on stage. This is William Michael Sanders. And grab that, Maria, grab that microphone when you come up. It's right over there. Now, in a moment, we're also going to have some baptisms. But baptisms, that's an event, that's a moment that we save for when an individual makes a decision to follow Jesus. It seems like every time in the Bible someone gets baptized, it's always after they've repented and said, you know what, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then they got baptized. Well, their little son's not going to be able to do that right now, but he will someday. And when he does, we're going to celebrate as a family his baptism. But what we want to do today is honor Michael and Maria as they dedicate their son and say, church family, as far as we can, we're going to follow Jesus so that our boy comes to know how dearly loved he is and how good Jesus is. Will you support us in that? And then we're going to respond back by holding out a hand of blessing, which is our way of saying, Sanders, we are with you and for you. We're going to walk with you and your son as he grows. No matter what, whether you're close to them or far away, together we're going to encourage them in that. So we're excited about it. So, well, you think he'll come to me? Let's see. Hey, would you come with me? And I want you guys to read a verse. And you have some family here today? Where's the family? There they are down the front row. There we go. Awesome. We're glad you guys are here. They're going to read a verse that they've picked out for their boy. And I'm going to walk him around so you all can just see him up close and personal.
We had a verse, but we didn't bring it. I'm so sorry. It's Proverbs 1:27, 3-5. It just talks about Jesus bringing, us bringing our kids up to Jesus.
Yeah, that's what we want for him. Here, we'll just take a little time. This is important. There we go. There's Papa. There we go. There, you get a picture? There we go. Awesome. We want you to, this is important stuff. They've got one little boy right now, and they're saying, boy, we want him to know Jesus, and we want you guys as a church family to know him so that you can encourage this family. Maybe there's going to be a time when you see them on Sunday and you can say, hey, I was there for your that baby dedication, and I'm for you. Young parents need that. It's a hard thing to raise kids in this day and age. Do you guys have another one in there?
I think it was.
They're all good.
I'm so sorry. I think it's wrong. Sorry. I guess I have a. You want to read this?
Okay. Stone is heavy and sand a burden. A provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love.
You know, one thing that the Holy Spirit does for us, because he loves us so much, he, in his gentle way, he says, hey, I've got something better for you, this rebuke thing. I've got something better for you. Will you let go of what you have and take hold of what I have for you? You know, they're going to do that with their little boy, and we need to do that with one another so we can all go after Jesus. And so let's do this. I'm going to switch with you. I'll give you your boy back. And let's do this. You did a great job. You did a great job. What a cute boy. Would you just share your heart and your commitment to this parent, these parents, by holding out your hand of blessing to them? And let's pray. God, oh, from before creation, you knew this little boy. Every day of his life, you said, is written in your book before one of them has come to be. And Lord, we don't know what they are. We just saw the page you wrote for today. But Lord, even without knowing everything else, we just say yes to every one of the pages that you've written for his life. And we lift up Michael and Maria. God, we pray your blessing over them, God, that they would go after you. They don't have to be perfect parents. They just got to keep their eyes fixed on you. You are so generous. You're going to pour out blessing over their family in so many ways as they keep their eyes fixed on you. And we're saying, Lord, we're going to help them. We're in it with them. And we know that you are leading us all because you're our commander. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'll take the microphone and bless you. Let's give it up for them as they have a seat. Wow, yeah. Give that up for them. Isn't that fun? Are you getting a taste if you're a guest at CrossFit? You kind of get a taste of what we're about. That's what we hope you do. And for those of you who've been part of this church family, you really are. You really are a part of this with them. You help make it what we are today. We're going to share some stories now, just stories of things that God has done in us or through us or around us. And I asked Alex and Julie Ebers if they would come up and share first with that, just a story of following God that I'm hoping is going to encourage you today. Here, you guys, you step up here, and I'm going to kind of step in the back so people can see you. Tell us the story.
Okay, so I'm Julie, and this is my husband, Alex Ebers, and a few weeks back, we were doing an outreach with CrossBridge Discipleship School, and we went to ATB Plus, and we were walking around, and the goal was to find somebody to get to ask the miracle question to. And the miracle question is, if God could do something in your life, and it was a miracle, what would it be, and can I pray for you? And so we're wandering around looking for somebody, and we end up running into one of my students. I'm a teacher at a public high school. And so we're talking, and in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, she's one of my students, and I don't think I'm going to ask her the miracle question. I think that might be weird. And a few weeks prior, we had been doing a similar outreach, and I had actually seen her at a restaurant as well and talked to her and chickened out then as well. And so we're talking, and her dad ends up walking up, and we're just getting to know him, and my husband, Alex, actually ends up asking him the miracle question. And he responds, you know, I'm a Christian too, and anytime that somebody asks me that question, I ask for discernment because we live in trying times in this difficult world. And he started opening up about some things going on in their family. His wife has a debilitating disease, and while he was talking, his daughter was kind of fidgeting and turning her back on the conversation a little bit, and I wasn't really sure how to get a read on how she was responding. Was she feeling awkward or uncomfortable? And so he finished sharing, and then Alex said, Julie, why don't you pray for them? And so I prayed for them, prayed for healing for her mom and for the things that he had requested. And then when I finished praying, I looked up, and my student was looking at me with tears coming down, and she gave me this big hug. And it was just really cool because being at a public school, I desperately want to share the hope of Jesus that I have with my students, but I don't always feel the freedom to get to do that. And so I got to tell her, you know, I'm always here for you if you want, you know, to talk about anything or need prayer, let me know. And, you know, since then, I've actually gotten to encourage her several times, like when she's been stressed about a test that we're about to take in bio. And I've gotten to share scripture with her to encourage her to not be anxious. And so it's helped to deepen our relationship. And it was also really cool because I had the opportunity to be included in what God was doing in her life. And clearly she was being pursued by God because I saw her at that restaurant and then at HEB. And both times I didn't take the step of faith and boldness to ask her the question. But luckily I had Alex with me, and God gave him the boldness to ask it. And so God was pursuing her and also showing me that it's worth it when we do take that step of faith and boldness.
That's good. That's good. You can say anything?
Just a reminder, like, the main character in this story is Jesus. It's not about us working up crazy boldness, but it's about recognizing how good he is and wanting other people to see that and praying for other people. And so it's his glory, and we just want want him to have it.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know, people, and you know this because you are people, we keep our pain right below the surface sometimes, right? And we go to work and we do our job, or we go to the grocery store, or we do whatever part of life we're doing. And only we sometimes have any idea what is the turmoil that may be underneath the surface. And one of the things that Alex and Julie did in just having, you know, taken that step of saying, hey, is there something I could pray for you about? Almost every time you do that, the pain sort of surfaces. And it's not like you get into a big counseling session, but people reveal the pain that is right underneath. And you have an opportunity just to pray a blessing over them. And our enemy will make you feel like it is the hardest thing to do. You could never do that. It's weird. You're going to get thrown in jail. None of that stuff ever happens, okay? It's always a blessing. I got to tell a story about me and Alex. One time, we were in a meeting doing discipleship, and you may have been there. I don't think you were there that day, Patrick, but we were meeting in North Central Baptist. Should I not tell this story? The caffeine. Okay, Debbie's like going like this to me. Okay, so let me tell you this story. Alex and I were studying the Bible, and after we were up in the upstairs lobby of North Central Baptist Hospital, it's kind of quiet, and we decide afterwards, why don't we go downstairs and see if there's anybody that needs prayer? We're in a hospital, right? And so it's like, hadn't done it in a while, so Alex says, hey, Kirk, why don't you go first? So I'm like, no problem, buddy. Let's go together. So we go together, but I'm going to do the talking. And there's this man. He's got his back to us. And I say, excuse me, sir. And he turns around, and across his hat in sequins, it says, Jesus saves. And I'm like, hey, sir, we have a Bible study every Thursday here. And then we pray for people. Could we pray for you? And he's like, you bet. Come on, brother. Take me to the throne. And so I'm like, and so we pray for him. And so... so then I'm like, okay, I'm like, Alex, it's your turn. So we walk over to two women. They were of a different ethnicity than us. It turned out that English was their second language, and English was harder for them. And I won't mimic the accent because that might come across as teasing, but I'm not at all. But Alex says, hey, we have a Bible study, and we're praying for people. Could we pray for you? And this woman turns, and remember, the pain's right below the surface, and her eyes get big, and she says, oh, yes, my baby boy had the circumcision, and it didn't work, and we have to have another circumcision. Pray for the circumcision. And Pat and Alex goes, Kirk, why don't you lift that up to Jesus? I'm like, it just punted on me. It was... it's like, you should have taken the Jesus saves, dude. I'm telling you, man. Oh, but I'm telling you, when you will step out and someone shares a problem with you, whether you initiate and ask them if you might pray for them, or they share a problem with you, if they're sharing a problem with you or a concern, they're entrusting you. They already feel safe with you, or they wouldn't share what's going on in their lives. And it is so easy to say, could I say a blessing for you right now? And it's just, Jesus, you know the heart of this person. You know the pain or the concern. Would you make yourself real to them and bless them? I ask for this in Jesus' name. It can be short like that, but God moves. God moves. And that's, I want you to have the boldness to move in that direction. I want to ask Daniel Gonzalez to come up. He's got a story too. Let's give it up for Daniel. Daniel's our keys guy. Well, Daniel's everything at Crossbridge. I don't know. Tell us a lot of stuff. Tell us your story, man.
I'm Daniel Gonzalez, and so last year, about the beginning of the summer, a mentor came up to me, and he said, I want you to this discipleship training program. And at first, I was like thinking through it, thinking about what my year would look like, and I thought, no, that's not really for me. I want to do some other stuff this year. I don't want to do that. And so I go on this trip to Israel, and God just met me in this incredible way there, where he just met me with so much kindness and love, showing me who he is. And once I got back from the trip, a mentor came up to me again. He wanted to meet, and he said, hey, you should really do this. And I'm really encouraging. I would love to see what God's going to do in your life through this. And I was thinking, man, this guy just won't stop. And so he just kept pushing it. And then finally, I'm like, you know, I'm going to pray about this, see what God has to say. So I went on a hike and I started praying, just asking God, is this something you have for me? I don't really want to do it, but is this something you have? And I heard him say, this is where I'm calling you to right now. You're not going to understand why you're doing it. It's not going to make sense, but I'm calling you to this right now. I'm going to bring a lot of light to your life, because as an introverted person, it's easy for me to keep things in the dark and just live in the dark. So I said yes, and I start going through this discipleship program. And through it, we start going through a lot of healing things, and God starts bringing to light all these wounds and all these lies that I've held on to in my life. And through that, he just brought so much healing, so much more joy to my heart, and did something I never would have experienced if I had just said no. And so it's crazy. And he's still transforming my life right now, giving me more boldness and teaching me what it's like to walk in community and walk with people and love people well. So it's been an incredible thing. But just taking that step of obedience that I was going to say no to at first, he completely transformed everything for me.
Wow, that's cool to hear. Thanks, man. That's it, man. Sometimes God speaks through someone else in your life, and your initial thought is, but you know, what we need to do instead is say, hey, Jesus, I trust this person. I know they're trustworthy. Is this from you? And God will answer that. And for Daniel, it was a step of humility, for sure. You know, okay, I don't want to give up control, but I'll do it, God. He always blesses when we obey, always. And the number one way he blesses is by drawing us closer to him. That's what he does. Well, now we're going to shift gears a little bit, and I'm going to bring some of the children in, because we're going to have some baptisms. And so as the children come in, yeah, welcome the kiddos. Okay, we're going to have our band come up. All right, kids, I don't know where you guys got them. I'm going to invite Addison Moore. Yeah, you guys sit right in front, all the way to the end. I'm going to invite the Moores to come up on stage first with me. If your child is getting baptized, if you guys can go ahead and maybe move over here so we can get you up on stage right at the right time. But right now, I want Chris and Cammie to bring their sweet girl, Addison, Addie, up on stage. And let me tell you why we do baptisms. Christians have been doing this for centuries, and it really started the way we do it. It started with Jesus. When he committed his life to the mission that God the Son committed his life to the mission that God the Father had for him. And he was baptized. And then he said this to everyone who follows him. I want you to be baptized. I want you to be baptized in the name of the Father, in my name, Jesus, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And baptism doesn't save you. A baptism is a symbol. And when we dip ourselves or dip someone under the water, they're associating, they're aligning themselves with the death of Jesus, the death that canceled our sin. And when they come out of the water, they're aligning themselves with the new life that Jesus says we have now that our sins have been erased because of his great sacrifice. And so we are getting, this is like Christmas Eve now. We want to celebrate that. And so here's what we're going to do. We have about four baptisms, some adults, some kids. But today may be the day that you need to be baptized. Maybe you were baptized as a child, but you don't remember it. It was meaningful to your parents. But you're thinking, you know, I want to start the year by proclaiming that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Maybe you got baptized as a younger person because it was part of the ritual or the tradition of your church. But again, it may have felt coerced or had no meaning to you. But today, you want to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I follow Jesus. We prepared for you. I know you didn't come thinking, I'm going to get baptized. But I just want you to ask, kind of like Daniel did when that mentor said to him, consider going to our discipleship school. Would you consider being baptized today? In the back, we have T-shirts and shorts. We even have underwear. That's right. I said underwear. We got everything you need to be baptized. We got towels and everything. It's all back there. Who's back there taking care of that for us? Okay, Brian. Daryl. There's Daryl. Go over that side. Go over that side too, Daryl. This is Daryl raising his hand. If you want to be baptized a little bit later in our service, I want you to go to Daryl right now, okay? But right now, we're going to baptize Addie and Addie, and there's her parents, Chris and Cammy. And I want to ask you, Addison, how did you come to know Jesus?
One day I felt ugly in my heart, and I just started crying to my mom and said, I don't want to be like this anymore. And I said, I'm trying to do this on my own, and I couldn't. And my mom taught me how to pray about it, and we waited for my mom and dad to come home. Well, my dad, and I prayed and accepted Jesus into my heart.
Wow, that's sweet. Wow. Listen, that's not sweet because she's a cute little girl. That's sweet because it's the truth. That's the truth. And Addie, who is Jesus to you?
He's my savior and my rescuer because he died on the cross for me.
Amen. That's great. Wow. Chris, you want to add anything to that?
Today is not a celebration of Cammy and I doing something perfect. It's a celebration of Jesus and his work. A few years ago, when we started coming to Crossbridge, we felt led to take that next step to give God more room. And we did that by stepping into life group. We did that by stepping into discipleship. And we've done those things before. This time it was a little bit different because we weren't just doing something. We were being taught how to sit and listen and hear and learn learn more about the Father heart of God. And that began to change us. And then we took that home. And God began to use that as we raise our children. And so that's the celebration of his work. I have a verse, Luke 11:13. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? So today we just want to celebrate his perfectness, his fullness. Give room. Just step out in faith and give him more room.
It's funny. Kirk said, are y'all going to say anything? I was like, oh, we didn't know that would happen. So, and we didn't talk about it, but the Lord was laying on my heart. As I was sitting there, just thinking back to that evening when we just kind of had a rough day, and her saying, I just feel so yucky in my heart, and I keep trying to not be that way. I keep trying. And I remember praying from a very young age that, Lord, like, would you make it evident when it's time, when it's real? You know, when they're this young, it's that sense of, like, are they just mimicking or is this really you? And when she said, I keep trying to do it on my own and I can't, it just really resonated with me because that's something that I struggle with. I'm that kind of person that I'm just going to kind of, you know, pick myself up by the bootstraps and make it happen. And so my heart broke because I don't want that for her, and the Father doesn't want that for me either. And so it was just a sweet evening of getting to tell her who Jesus is and what he has done for her and the freedom she would have when accepting him. And so we're just super proud of this girl. And, you know, Brian Hannah said to us when we were kind of asking questions, like, how do we know? I remember him saying, she doesn't get a kid version of the Holy Spirit. She doesn't get a junior version of the Holy Spirit. She gets the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we get to see that walking out in her day-to-day life. So it's a huge celebration for us today.
Awesome. You guys head down into the baptistry. And I tell you what, hey, Jim, would you mind grabbing a towel and handing it to them when they get out of there? And here's what we're going to do. This is the celebration. And so this is the one time Addie's going to get baptized, and we want her to remember this. And one of the ways we can do it, you know, the Super Bowl is just a week away. This is a good time to practice, okay? So when she comes out of the water, I don't want you just to clap. I want you on your feet to celebrate and for this little girl to know that we're for her, okay? And so, Addison, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Yeah. All right, I'm with the Sanchez's. Come on up. Eleni, how are you? I'm glad. This is Eleni and Ray, and Ray and Liz are the parents, and Eleni, you brought your own towel. You're ready to do it, aren't you? Tell me, how did you come to know Jesus?
I heard about heaven, and I asked my parents how I could go live in heaven with God. So they explained, and I asked God to forgive my sins, and I gave my life to him.
Oh, sweet girl, that is great to hear. And I think it's awesome that you wrote that out, because you know what? I want you to hang on to that card, okay? And save it, put it in a special place, because it's your first time to share your testimony in front of the whole church. And I know you got a list up here. Who is Jesus to you?
I have nine. I have nine of them.
Come on. Let's rock it, girl. Number one.
Rock, Savior, heart, soul, life, path, risk, resurrection, protector, my soil to plant, the seeds of life.
Amen. That's great. Do you want to say anything, Ray?
I just want to say that we are proud of Eleni for taking this step of faith. I heard you sharing that so baptism doesn't save you, and I know that for sure, because I grew up for 24 years believing that until I came to know Jesus and understand his word. I didn't get baptized after that, but it was just a public demonstration of my faith, and I just passing this on to my kids so they'll grow following the truth, following Jesus, believing that they can only be saved through him by his sacrifice, and display that through baptism.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You head down there. Let's get ready to show Eleni the excitement. We're going to show the excitement here that Jesus and the angels have in heaven for her, okay? So be ready to jump up on your feet and celebrate this sweet girl's decision. We're excited about this. Come on in. This is good. Awesome. Eleni, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. All right, Zach, come on, man. Okay, now this is Zach Bloomer, and Zach's in my life group. Pumped about that. Come on up here in the center, buddy. And I know, let me tell you, it's hard to get up here on stage. There's lots of lights out here, but let me tell you, everybody out here is for you. They're on Team Zach right now, right? So, Zach, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to know Jesus?
In preschool, one time, my pastor was singing a song, and I wanted to know more about Jesus.
And so through his singing a song, okay, that was not me singing, by the way. So through the singing of the song, and then that's you wanted to know more about him through that, right? And who is Jesus to you, Zach?
My Lord, my Savior, and my quarterback, because he can't play football without one.
That's right. Can't play football without a quarterback. That is, I knew that was coming up somehow. Zach is one of three boys, and they are all athletic, and they're in my life group, or we're all in life group together. And last week, the three brothers led worship together for our life group. It was really cool. Sean, anything you want to say, or is that good? Come on.
Yeah, Zach has an A&M shirt on under this one, so. But we're from New York, so I don't know how that happened. Y'all just have that.
It needs baptizing.
Our family. Our family is so proud of Zach, and we're so grateful to our life group especially. They've just made a huge impact on our life. So, yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Come on, go down there and get in the baptistry. All right, who you pulling for in the Super Bowl, Zach? The Rams. All right, Jared Goff. There we go. That's okay. There we go. You guys ready to jump up and celebrate, Zach? Come on then. Zach, based upon the fact that you've said Jesus is your Lord and your Savior and your quarterback, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Amen. You know, one of the reasons we do this on Sunday morning with our kids too, is because if you're an adult, you know there is a whole journey ahead of them, right? There's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be lots of pressures and attacks spiritually on these kids. And I want them, they may not remember every face, but I want you to remember their face. And I want you to be an encourager. You to be a one that spurs them on. Maybe you say, hey, I was at your baptism and I'm proud of you. Because we need to encourage one another, the Bible says. I want to invite Raul Ramirez to come up on stage. What's up, buddy? I'm glad you're here, man. Tell us how you came to know Jesus, Raul.
The morning of December 29th, 2018, I finally repented after so long, after years of drug and alcohol abuse, being depressed. I finally found who God was. I repented, prayed for forgiveness, and here I am getting baptized in front of all of you today.
Amen. That's great. Hang on. Tell us, Raul, who is Jesus to you?
My Lord, my Savior, and my Father.
Amen. Amen. All right, man. Head on down there. All right, where's Brian? There we go. Brian Hannes is going to baptize. This, I'm telling you, we're going to have a couple of more testimonies in a moment. But if you want to be baptized, now's the time to go back. Daryl's over there. Chris Dillashaw's there raising his hand. There's Brittany Erball, if you're a woman. Just go back there and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. You're not going to go home wet. We got everything you need. But take a stand. Take a step of faith. These kids get up on stage. Raul gets up on stage. You can do this too. Make a stand for Jesus. So go back to one of those two right now. So Raul, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Woo! It's going to be a fun time. I'm going to invite Anna Jane Leonard and her daddy Kyle and Bree. She's not out, in here, out on stage, but let's give it up for Anna Jane. Yeah, come on this way, Anna Jane, right through there. And Kyle, come on up the stage. Can you scoot back just a couple of inches there so they can come by me? Hey, sweet girl, I'm glad you're here. Would you tell us how you came to know Jesus?
When I was little, my dad told me about Jesus, how he died for our sins, and he told that I could ask Jesus Christ to be in my heart, and I asked, and now I have Jesus in my heart, and I always will.
That's exactly right. Hang on, I gotta ask you one more question, though, remember? Who would you say Jesus is to you?
My Lord and Savior. When I was nervous before all this, but there's this verse that led me to do this. It's Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for I'm with you wherever you go. And so when...
No, there was more to say. I could tell.
And what it meant by that, it meant by be strong and don't be scared. You can do this. You can do this.
Amen. Kyle, can you possibly have anything to say and hold it together after that, bro?
I'll try. Bree and I are just so proud of Anna Jane and just the godly woman that she is and becoming, and it's such a privilege. On your spiritual journey, to talk about who Jesus is, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and how we engage the Holy Spirit and build our foundation.
Amen. That's awesome. Well, head on down to the baptistry. Now, and Anna Jane was preaching for a second. Does somebody need to be strong and courageous today? Does somebody, Anna Jane, how old are you? She's 11. Anybody need to be strong and courageous like 11-year-old Anna Jane and say, you know what, I'm making a stand for Jesus today. It doesn't matter what you plan to do. Go back, get clothes, jump in your clothes in a minute. But be strong and courageous. Be not terrified, because I am with you wherever you are, Jesus says. And Anna Jane, because Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in new life. Just stand up. Stand up and cheer it on for her. Come on. That's right. You know, here at Crossbridge, listen, the Super Bowl's next Sunday. At least that's what the world thinks. This is the Super Bowl. This is what matters. This is what matters in the kingdom. And so when it happens, I want these people, you know, I want 11-year-old Anna Jane to remember this. And you're part of helping her. So I want you on your feet and cheering. This is Sam and this is Nick. And Nick, I'm going to let you go first, ma'am. Tell us how you came to know Jesus, man. Tell us the story.
Well, I guess you could say I've kind of known Jesus for a while. I know who he was, that you could say that. Then, you know, I was a high school, college football player. So I kind of lived that life, you know, whatever that, you know, involves and takes. And then about 3.5 weeks ago, I went to Passion for the first time. And
that's a conference, right?
Yeah, it's a conference in Dallas. I went with the church, and something changed my life forever. That joy and that fulfillment that he gives you is the reason why I'm up here. It's the reason why I'm doing this. It's because it's something you can't feel or you can't be happy without. Nothing in this world can give you that. And he changed me for the better. He changed me for the rest of my life. From that day forward, I said I will change, and I wanted to change.
Amen.
And, you know, me and her have been together for about 7-8 years now, and so it's my responsibility to, you know, bringing up a family to instill the good morals, the God, Jesus, how good he is. And I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want to change the way my life was, how it is now. I'm happy the way it is, and I'm happy that I'm on this path that I'm on. And it makes me happy that she's along with it, so... thank God.
Yeah, Nick, tell us who is Jesus to you, Nick?
He's everything. He's my Savior. He's my Lord, Father, Coach, everything that I've ever needed in life, he's been. And that's cool. Who he'll stay for.
Awesome. Sam, come on, tell us. Can you hold it together?
Maybe.
Come on, girl. Tell us a little bit how you came to know Jesus, how he came real to you.
I've always known of God. Just never had a real relationship with him. I've had a hard time letting go. A past hurt and mistakes I've made. Sorry.
It's okay. We're with you.
Oh, man. I'm just
going
to laugh about it. It's fine. Anyways, I went to Passion. The same thing with him, and I just felt him call me home where I'm at. And now I'm here. So, yeah.
Sam, who would you say Jesus is to you?
My friend and my Savior.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Andrew, can you say something?
Well, that's tough. This is a really proud moment for me and Jessica's mother. The ones that know me know our journey, and it's not been easy, and it's been up and down, and the Lord is faithful. I'll say that. And yeah. I'll say this. He is relentless. He loves him more than I love him, and as compassionate as I am for him and her, he loves them more than I do, and I have that to fall on, but this is huge, and I love you. I love what you're doing. I love your boldness, that step. I remember just saying, hey, Nick, I think it's time, and you were, oh, no, it's not time, and just God's timing. You know, we as parents, we want to push them to do things in our time, and God's so perfect, and he's so just, And I'm just so proud that you guys are so bold to do this. Right now, I don't have words anymore.
Awesome. Well, head on down to the baptistry then. Yeah, you got family and friends down there? Come on. Oh, good. Good. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. That's really good. That's what she said. The mic was off. She said, I'm really glad you're here to mom and dad. That's important. That's important. Well, let's make this a morning, a moment for Nick to remember, okay? And Sam, in just a second. All right. Well, Nick, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Sam, your turn. Is it cold? That's the question, isn't it? All right. Let's help Sam remember this. Let's celebrate in the Lord with her. Sam, based upon your profession of faith, that you don't just know of Jesus, you know Jesus. So we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. All right, Bradley. All right, too, with Michael and Annette, you guys come on up. I juked you a little bit. Come on up, buddy. Awesome. This is Michael and Annette. And Carly, what's the relationship? Sisters? Okay. Well, Michael, tell us how you came to know Jesus, man.
Well, it was really about a year ago. Annette, my wife now, she was wanting to go to church. And I was raised in the Catholic Church, and it never really resonated with me. I never really got the message. And for one reason or another, I just... you know, didn't think I needed church. I didn't think I needed to come to, you know, hear Jesus' word. And for a reason, you know, I just wanted to support her, and I decided that I was going to go and we were going to do it together. And Pastor Kirk, your words and, you know, the messages, they started to be real and they started to sink in. And we started reading a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. We started reading the Bible. We started listening to, you know, God's word all the time, and the messages just started becoming so clear, and it was, you know, realizing that God has a bigger purpose for me, that I've been living for myself and not letting him into my heart and letting him use me for the purpose that he has for me. And it's just been amazing to let it sink in and to feel God's love and the presence once we've, you know, just allowed him into our lives, the blessings that just started coming, and really being inspired by Annette as well, the way I've seen her accept Jesus and be so empowered by him, it's just so inspiring, and I just want that love and that feeling always with her.
Who is Jesus to you, Michael?
Jesus is my Savior. He's the role model for who I want to be in my life. He's everything to me.
That's awesome, man. That's great. Annette, tell us how Jesus became real to you.
I've always known him, and I feel like I've always been close to him, but I've also always known the enemy, and I always was close to him. And I believed all his lies, and Carly told me once that the enemy wants you to doubt your father, that God's love is like your father, and in any way he wants you to doubt that love, and I did, and I was diagnosed with ADHD from a young age, and I truly believe that was the distraction of all my thoughts over God and I really struggled with focusing on anything, outside of anything. And I was on the highest dosage of medication for years, and I just decided I needed him, and muting myself and not loving myself and feeling like I'm not worthy and I'm not anything was evil, and me believing lies. And one day to another, I just decided to trash all that poison, and I decided that all I needed to focus on was him, and I threw it all away, and 100% day to night, I was better, and I can focus, and I know him, and I love him, and he loves me, and no more of believing the lies. And amen. Carly is significant to me because she was one of the people that showed me the way, and she works for me, but more, she works for him.
Yeah, wow. Way to go. And Annette, who is Jesus to you?
Everyone. I've always loved everyone and everything, but I struggled with loving myself, and Jesus is all of us. It's so easy to love. It's so much more easier to love. But more importantly, we're made in his image, and we are all him. And he's my mentor. He's my reflection. He's love. Yeah. And he's my savior. And amen. He's Carly, and he's Mike, and he's everyone.
Jesus does. He lives inside of us, and he changes us. Carly, you want to say something?
I've known Annette for 5 to 6 years now, and she's like my sister, and, you know, she's seen me grow up, and I've realized, like, the last 2 years I started working with her, that when you feel like God isn't doing anything through you, that he is working, and when you doubt yourself, God is using you as a light, and wherever he places you, you are the church, and you are his light. And we're not just salon sisters anymore, but sisters in Christ as well.
Amen.
And I love you guys, and I'm just so happy and proud of you guys.
Awesome. All right, head on down there. Carly is going to baptize Annette, because Carly was the one Jesus used in Annette's life. And Annette's going to baptize Mike, because Annette was the one that Jesus used in Mike's life. And we love to see that. The people that God uses, baptize the people and share in that harvest. So let's help Annette remember this as Carly baptizes her. Annette, we baptize you based upon your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Take both of them. We'll see. All right. Tom, you get ready to jump in. All right. Mike, based upon your profession of faith, man, I loved your words. And based upon the fact that you're following Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. I'm going to invite Bradley. Come on up here, buddy. How are you, man? Man, I'm glad you're here. Tell us the story, man. How did Jesus become real? How did you come to know him?
Well, we always, I grew up in a house where we believed in Jesus and God, but we weren't really churchgoers, maybe once or twice a year. I left for the military for 5 years, and I was put in some situations that just made me either depressed, anxious, angry, or a combination of the three. I came back in 2017, and I met my beautiful fiance, Jillian.
Come on.
And she brought me here to Crossbridge, and I was like, I'll go. I was a little nervous. I came to the church, and everyone's standing up with their hands raised, the band. I'm like, oh, what is this? And
I thought the same thing.
Right? And just over time, I just, like, started to feel the God, Lord's presence. and everyone here. It just made me happy, his love, just like this outward expression that is an inward reality. And I just feel it's ready, and I'm ready to give all my obedience to him.
That's awesome, buddy. That's awesome. Who is Jesus to you, Bradley?
He's my Savior and the light that we just need to keep on chasing.
Amen. Awesome. Head on down and let's baptize you. This is great. It's not too late. We're going to share a few more stories. Is the Lord saying what he said in Joshua 9? Be strong and courageous. Is today the day that you need to take a stand and say, I'm doing it. I'm just doing it. I didn't plan on doing it, but I'm doing it. If it is, you can go right in the back. We'll have somebody waiting for you, man or woman. We'll have everything you need. All right, Bradley, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Come on. All right. I'm going to invite Danny Loveday on stage. And I just got to say something. Danny's son, 17-year-old son, Kyle, went to be with Jesus last Friday night late, and in a car accident. And we had Kyle, a celebration, not only of Kyle's life, but a celebration of what Jesus has promised in his reality yesterday in this room. And Danny and his wife and family are back there, and Danny wanted to be baptized. Danny, I'm going to let you say what you want to say, bro.
Again, we knew Kyle was special. We didn't know that everybody else knew. So many other people knew. Both my kids have always made me want to be a better dad. We came to Crossbridge because of them. And it's the best thing that ever happened in our life. I had religion growing up, and once we found Crossbridge, we knew it was the relationship we were looking for. That relationship was passed on to both our kids. And I've never seen it more displayed in anybody than yesterday in Kyle's life. I had already planned to do this. Sorry. I had already planned to do this. And I was going to surprise him. Because I wanted him to see serious I was about my relationship with him, our family, and Christ. And I wanted him to see the man that I wanted him to see and that God wanted him to see. And I'm here to reaffirm that Christ is my Savior. He's the great counselor. He is the healer.
Yeah.
And he will heal us all.
Amen. Amen. Danny, thank you, buddy. This is Michael Galindo, faithful friend. Michael's going to do the baptizing. So head on down there. Tell you, if you haven't been on your feet for one of these, you got to be on your feet after this, okay? So let's just be ready, because we're celebrating Jesus, and Kyle is with Jesus right now and celebrating. We stand in honor of Jesus. And Danny, based on the fact that you said you want people to know how serious you are about following Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism, and you're raised to walk in new life. on our live stream and you can look in the past services and you can view Kyle's memorial service from yesterday. It'll inspire you. It'll stir you up. Because the reality of Jesus, it's not just a Sunday thing. It's not religion. It is about the God who made us all being real in our lives and making a difference in being God. And he will. I want to bring up, who am I bringing up right now? I just lost it. I'm so sorry. Taylor, come on, girl. I'm going to invite Taylor to come up on stage with me. And as she's coming up, hello, Sawyer. Let's give it up for Taylor. She's going to share her story. Come on. Thank you, guys. Yeah, we'll get Taylor up here in about 10 minutes after everybody goes. Taylor is a sweet, special friend to our girls growing up and is part of our discipleship school and college student. And all right, let's let Taylor get up on stage too. You know, come on, jump. There we go. Give that up for Taylor. Hey, girl, I'm glad you're here. Come on, stand up here. I know you've got a story to tell, and I know you're used to being on stage, but I also know that it's different when you're telling something like this.
Yeah.
And so I want to just pray over her. You agree with me. Jesus, Lord, would you now just descend with joy and peace over Taylor as she shares the sweet story of your faithfulness. Lord, I just pray that she would just see you, your smile over her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, hi, guys. So I'm Taylor Beeney, and this is really a story about how the Holy Spirit changed my life. So some background, I grew up in a extremely contentious household, and I was affected by a lot of emotional and physical abuse as a child, and growing up, that led to a lot of other problems, obviously, but the main one was depression, anxiety, and an eating disorder that spurred out of that. So I was struggling with this. I struggled my entire life, and I just remember this one, like, fateful night in August when I really sat down with one of my best friends, Mary Callen, and just started pouring my heart out to her like I'd never had before. I was in a real, real deep place, like a real, real, really, really painful place. And it was as worse as it had ever been, just to the point where I didn't think that, you know, I belonged on earth. I didn't have a purpose or an identity or belonging. And I started to unveil this to her and start to pour out my heart. And she listened, obviously, very well. I love Mary Callen. But she just said, well, how is your relationship with Jesus? And to be honest, I didn't have one. I'd never had one. I didn't even know that that was possible or that he wanted one with me. But as I continued to talk, I just remember being overcome with this, like, so I was angry. I was angry at the circumstance and all of everything that had happened. And I just remember saying, well, if there was a God, like, why would he love me? And come on. Okay. Why would he love me? And Mary Callen, like, kept listening, and I remember she just said, well, those are just lies. Like, you don't have to believe that. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And I just remember there was a point where I was telling her about this counselor that said, well, the things you learned in your childhood were just dance steps that you need to relearn. And in that moment, God gave me this clarity that those weren't dance steps. They were just lies that had been spoken over me. And I was like, well, I need to rebuke that lie. Like, and I was like, okay, well, I rebuke the lie that A, B, and C. And as I started to do this, this immense joy just came over my heart and just flooded over me. I mean, like nothing else I'd ever experienced before. And this joy was just like, I started cracking up. And Mary Callen was with me. We were laughing like crazy women, and I was just like, man, this is insane. And I knew in that moment it was God. So I just started to talk out loud like I never had. I started praying out loud and saying, you know, God, this is what it is, and I'm angry, and I just don't understand, and I'm confused, but I see you, and I see that you're working. And in that moment, there was a switch in my heart, and I felt this immense love come over me like I'd never felt before. And just the power of the Holy Spirit just flooded into my heart, and the best way I can describe it is like hugging my grandmother. But this feeling was so intense and so strong, I just remember thinking, Jesus is giving me a hug right now. And I didn't understand that love until that moment, and it just changed everything. And I remember going home that night and journaling everything that had happened, and thinking, you know, Jesus, don't leave me. Don't let this feeling leave me, which is obviously not how it works. But, like, I just remember thinking, don't leave. And I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and that love was, that visceral feeling of love was still there. And all through the next day, and that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to be steadfast after you. I don't know what's going on, but I know it's you. And so it was then that I really was wrangled into the Crossbridge Discipleship School. No, I love
Chief
it.
Wrangler.
Like, it's amazing. And I've been led in that way and just grown in my intimacy with Jesus and learned how to share my faith with others and my story with others. And it's been the biggest blessing. And I just praise God for his kindness and his love. So that's that. Oh, and here I am today.
Thanks, good girl. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, here, let me tell you a spiritual principle. Maybe you're like, if Taylor were telling her story about how, what life was like, and then what happened when she and Mary Callen were together, and then what life's been like, maybe you're still in this place where you're like, I don't understand how, if there is a God, how he would love me. Let me tell you what he has, what a spiritual principle. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, wants to fill you with joy, with boldness, with love, with a sense of just belonging. But often, and I think Taylor would agree with this, she was filled up with some other things, some lies that she believed. And she had to let those lies go. And here's what happens in the spiritual realm. When you let lies go and your heart is seeking Jesus, he swoops in and fills that vacuum. That's what he does. So maybe there's a lie that you've believed. Maybe there's a wound that you received and you need to forgive. Maybe there's something going on in your life that is, you know, is not his best. There's, and you know you're over here and he's over here, and you need to let that go and come back, change direction and come to him. He wants you to have what Taylor has, that sense of love that never leaves. That's what he has for you. That's what he has for you. I want to invite Laura Huey up. Let's give it up for Laura. She's going to share a story too. And I'm telling you, if you want to be baptized today, if you want to be baptized, this is your last call for baptism. I don't want you to be one of those people that says, you know what, I was going to do it and I just didn't do it. So I'm going to do it next time. Okay. This is that next time for you. All right. And so you can go back to Brittany or Brian, and they are, or Daryl, and they will suit you up for what you need, and we'll baptize you before the day is over. Laura, would you tell us your story?
Okay, so our family was among the 50 or so Crossbridgers that went to Southeast Asia last summer as part of Engage the Islands. And I know that both teams that went saw God do extraordinary things through answered prayers.
Can I say, Engage the Islands was a massive mission effort. We connect with a group called the Antioch Movement or Antioch Network, a group of about 40 churches that pool together for a number of things, one of which is to go into, last year, Indonesia and cover the islands.
Southeast Asia.
Oh, yeah, forget I said that. Cut that off the thing. I think we'll be okay. But, yeah, so that's what Engage the Islands was. So go for it.
Okay. So both of our teams saw extraordinary things. They saw miraculous healings, salvations, and lots of answered prayers. And as a family, we saw a lot of answered prayers as we stepped out in faith together. And one of our biggest takeaways was watching God work in the lives of our three kids. And it was amazing just to see their self-confidence and their self-esteem really soar. And one of the other ways we saw God working with our kids was just growing their faith as they experienced what God was doing around them and through them. And where we were staying at the hotel, there was a 15-year-old Muslim girl named Maya who worked in the restaurant serving coffee. And so every morning we would go down and she would serve us coffee in the morning, and she'd kind of engage with our kids. And even though there was a language barrier, we could tell that she really was enjoying them. And so we looked for opportunities to hang out with her outside of the hotel. So we shared a couple meals together. We took her out for ice cream. She took us across town to an arcade so our kids could play video games. One afternoon, she and I went for a couple hours searching the city for peanut butter and contact solution, really important stuff in Southeast Asia. And during that time, there were times when she let me pray for her in English, but we didn't often have a translator with us when we were just hanging out. And so I didn't have opportunity to share the whole gospel with her. So the very last night before we were going to leave that city, I was able to get a translator that would come up to the hotel at 10:30 at night and sit with us and go over the gospel with Maya. And it was really apparent that she had never heard the name of Jesus. She knew nothing of the gospel. But by the end of our conversation, she put her trust in Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, and as a mom, it was both humbling and really encouraging to see the way that the Lord included my three young children. They were ages 8, 7, and 5 at the time. And he included them, and they were really instrumental in building that relationship and creating the context in which Jesus could reveal himself to her. So that was just really neat to see how God can do that and use them. So this summer, we're actually going to have an opportunity. John and I and the kids are going to go back to Southeast Asia for 3 months as base leaders. And Kirk is going to...
With your kids.
Yeah, with our kids, because they paved the way. Yeah. So can't go without them. And so we'd love to take Crossbridgers with us. We'd love to see like 10 people come with us. So if you're interested, Kirk's going to tell you more about that.
Yeah. Let me tell you, God has this... A lot of the stories you've heard today come from people that have stepped out of their comfort zone in some sort of way. Now, I'm not asking you to go from visiting Crossbridge to move into Southeast Asia for 3 months, okay? There's some steps in between there. One of those steps, though, for you could be coming along with us in one of our outreaches. You see these signs around the walls here and these tables over here. In your seat is a card that says Mission Blitz. We're taking eight trips or nine? Nine. We're going on, huh? You can sneak off. We're going to do 9 international outreaches this year. Some are as close as Reynosa and take $400, and it's a 3 or 4 day weekend, and it will change your life. If you've got kids, this is where we began to introduce our kids to the nations. We would take them to Reynosa with us, and we've been doing this now for over a decade, and we started taking them when they were about 8 or 9 or 10, and that's stirred their heart for learning Spanish. It stirred their heart for people beyond our little suburban zip code, and it changed their lives. We're taking 9 trips to 9 places, 7 places, but 9 trips. And I want you to pray about, should you be part of one of our outreaches this year? Is that the step that you're going to take? You could take the step. We have local outreaches that we do. One of them is called Kindle. One of them is called Backyard Bible Club. This year, the first step for you might be saying, you know what? I've been sitting here on Sunday morning loving what's going on, but when we do our big outreach to those 400 or 500 kids in our community, maybe this is your time to take a step to being part of an outreach. Maybe God is saying, I want you to pray about going to Reynosa. Be like Daniel Gonzalez. Be like Taylor Beanie. When someone you trust and you respect says, I think you ought to pray about this, simply pray and obey. Not obey what the person says, obey what God says to you. But I want you to pray about being part of one of our outreaches. Look at that card that's in your seat or that's next to you, would you? Would you pull that out while we're talking right now? Everybody look down, at least pretend like you're looking for that card that's in your seat. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Waving it around makes me feel good. That's what I want you to pray about. And just say, Jesus, this may sound crazy. I've never done anything like this, or it's been a long time. Do you want me to be part of one of these outreaches? Just pray and then do what Jesus says. You could never go wrong with that. All right? And do we have some more baptisms? We have 3 coming. Okay, bring them down. And is Brian Hannes here? Is he available to do the baptizing? Come, Brian is, yes. All right, come on, who's coming down to be baptized? Come on, let's give them a hand as they come down. We'll go down here. Kids are a little harder to see, but our adults are a little easy. Hey, man, what a good day. Tell me about this. Tell me, Nathan, I know you've been a believer. Tell me how you came to know Jesus and what's on your heart. Tell us who you are first.
Yeah, so I'm Nathan. I was up here earlier. I had four kids. I've been at Crossbridge for like 7 or 8 years now. As I was a little boy, I remember I went in and out to my parents' room, and there was I remember kneeling over the waterbed. That kind of gives you a timeline. And I'm just
watching,
like,
Brady
oh
Bunch.
My God, I feel the Holy Spirit. But anyways, no. So anyways, I totally asked Jesus in my heart at that point, and then shortly thereafter, I see my sister over there, and I remember just getting in our little robes, and we hopped into one of these pools, and you know, I think it really did mean something at the time as a child. You know, I was 5 or 6 years old. You know, but then I grow up and I go through some hard things. You know, there's different times in my life of loneliness and woundedness and abuse and all these different moments in my life. And it just slowly builds up and builds up. But 2 years ago, God changed my life absolutely forever.
Amen.
I was bound, and I know there's kids in here, but I was bound in addiction. Good.
Yeah, don't cover the bottom.
Oh, there we go. I was bound in addiction, with things online and stuff like that. And it just tore me up. And I was hiding something from my wife and from my kids and from my church and all these different things. So, but then God just moves in my heart. And truly, it was because of obedience through life group, through discipleship, through meeting for coffee, for grabbing a taco, to doing the things that I heard somebody say this last week. You're up on the top of the high dive, and you that feeling of I want to jump, but I don't want to jump. That feeling is what I felt when I was sitting over there, and I go, hey, Terry, I think I'm gonna get baptized today. But here's the thing, though. I have to just hold on to this. She looked right over at me, didn't even blink, and said, go for it. She said the same thing when it comes to Conquer. Conquer set me free from those addictions, and literally, yes, that's my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law and my dad, my brother, my grandparents, both, all over there. I remember sitting in that back. There's a booth in Building B. I remember sitting in the booth in Building B and sharing something I never told anybody ever in my entire life about abuse that I had in my life. The second I shared that, I was freed from it.
Amen.
The second I shared that, I was freed from it. And I sit there over there going, I was baptized. And it did mean something to me. But I've got 350 people sitting here, and I've got a story to tell. So I have to tell it.
Yeah.
And I'm standing at the top of this high dive going, oh, let's go.
Let's go. Awesome.
So Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's changed my life. And I know as a father and a husband, it's my role to step into that leadership and run this race with them and for them.
That's awesome, bro. Get in there, man. It's exciting. This is good. You know what to do. You know what to do when he comes out of that water. So, Brother Nathan, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Tell us who you are. You bet. It's okay.
So my name's Elise, and I started coming here because of Brandy and Jeff Adams. And I really believe that 2 years ago, when I met Brandy, that was just the person that God was supposed to put in my life because... Sorry.
because I have been fighting lies of you are not enough. And you need to be afraid all the time. And I have realized that the only time my life has been good was when Jesus was in it.
That's right.
And so that's why I've decided to do this today.
Oh, that's good. Who is Jesus to you?
He's my friend. He's my savior. He's my confidant. He's the person that I need to trust most. Just believe that whatever he has for me is what I need to be doing.
Yes, that's exactly right. Brandy, is there anything you want to say? That's okay. Very proud of her. Then come on. Come into the baptistry. You go stand next to her, get a towel, and hand that to her. Not too late. If you want to be baptized, go right now or come in your clothes. It doesn't matter what, but this is the time to make a stand for Jesus. And so, sweet friend, in the name of Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. What a sweet day. You know, you said, if you're thinking in your heart, oh man, I should have done that. I should have done that. I'll do it next time. Well, guess what? Next time is next service. All right? So you can stay every week. Every time we do this, somebody says, you know, I said I was going to say it next time. And then you said it was next service. Step up. This is what it is. It's a celebration of who Jesus is. When you go out today, let's put the fasting slide on the screen. Can we do that? There we go. I want to invite you to do something with us right now, okay? This may be brand new for you, but we're starting the year out, and we want to go after Jesus. We're hosting our World Mandate Conference, which is a wonderful worship conference. It's a missions conference. It's going to spur you on to think beyond just your little area of life and where you live. And so I want you to come, I want you to go to worldmandate.com and I want you to sign up for that. I'm telling you, moms and dads, your teenagers need to be at this. It's changed our daughters' lives. They're all three adults now and they love Jesus, and World Mandate was one of the ways that God met them. But so we want to fast and pray for God to bring people to World Mandate and change the world. And we also want to pray that we will be the body of Christ. Not just receiving, but we want to be released. We want to be a people that are awakened by Jesus to get beyond just this worldly goals that we sometimes live for. We want to be awakened to the purposes and the priorities of Jesus. We know we want to be a people that have been encountered by the Holy Spirit and go out to help others encounter Jesus through our lives. And then we want to be people who are released to walk in power. And so here's what I want you to do. All through the Bible, you see examples of people who were fasting. They would give up eating or some part of their diet for a season of time as a sacrifice to the Lord. Not that it impressed God or something like that, but they would make this a sacrifice, and then they would take the discomfort that they felt from the missing out on what they were fasting from, and they would use that discomfort as an alarm clock to remind them to pray for their priorities. They would use that discomfort to remind them that even though their body is saying, hey, you need a sandwich, feed me, I'm hungry, we stop and we say, no, you know what? There's something more than me feeling my stomach not hurting anymore. There's something more important, and you go after what's more important. And fasting helps you dial in. On your way out today, you're going to get this sheet at the front table. Even if you normally go out that way, go out this way, get a copy of our fasting sheet. Read the three verses this week and begin to pray that we would be a people who have been awakened, encountered, and are released out into the world. It may be that your fasting is going to be like mine, where I'm going to do just water for those days. That may be something you cannot do, and that's completely fine. It may be that God says, why don't you give up sweets for these 3 days? Why don't you give up social media for 3 days? Some of you are shaking already a little bit, right? Maybe he's saying, give up caffeine. Or maybe he's telling me to get on caffeine. No, he's not. whatever it is, would you figure out how you can be a part of what Crossbridge is praying for over the 3 days, beginning Tuesday, then Wednesday and Thursday? And let's just see what Jesus does, okay? On your way out today, you're actually not going out. What I want you to do, would you go, all these people here put in a lot of time to prepare information about our international outreaches. Would you, I tell you what, when we stand up, would you, Isaiah, would you guys kind of pick up that row of chairs so that we can have a little more space, maybe pile them over there? And would you go by, honor these people, find out about our trips, and then just pray and obey, okay? Why don't you stand with me now? If you've got kids, I need at least one of you parents to go get your kids, because they're done and eager to tell you all they learned about Jesus today, I'm sure. But let me pray and bless you as you go. Lord, you have put so much, stuffed so much into this one service, so many ways that you're celebrating and showing off who you are and what your love is and your power. Oh God, would we, I just pray that these people would be a people that are released to go into the world, to live in victory, to walk in freedom, and to reveal Jesus to those who are not yet believers. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, and may the God of peace go with you. Visit our international trips.